This is Miss Melisse, the bathtub mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. Hey, it's day 24 of the Dog Days of Podcasting for 2025. What's the Dog Days of Podcasting, you ask? Well, it's this challenge where a bunch of podcasters from around the world try to put out episodes every day during the month of August. You can find all of those episodes by subscribing to the mega feed at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. In the meantime, apologies to all of you Dog Days listeners. This is a regular episode of The Bathtub Mermaid, and you may or may not get a proper Dog Days episode later today. Have you ever wanted to be one of those people on Inside the Actor Studio who gets to answer James Lipton's questionnaire? Well, I am not James Lipton, but I do have his questions. And in the tub with me today, I also have Jack Mangan. Hi, Jack. How are you? Thank you for doing this. What do you do?
The hard-hitting questions right away. Yes, I know we know each other through a lot of similar circles. And yeah, it's the same. So it's great to talk to you and meet you, Melisse. So what I do is I do a lot of things. Holy crap, I do a lot of things. But number one, I'm a dad. That's number one above everything else. Number two, I'm in the middle of, in 2025, which has been an interesting year, if you haven't noticed. Amidst everything else, I'm in the middle of my midlife crisis. I'm doing something called Support Life in Music, which is a nonprofit organization where it's actually fiscally sponsored, which I can explain all that later if anybody cares. But our goal is to basically prevent musician self-destruction. You know, there's a lot of musician self-destruction in the world and in history, and it's for too long been kind of accepted as like, oh, that's just part of the job, that's just what they do, or oh, those artists are all just crazy, you know, that's just what comes with the territory. So we're fighting back against a lot of that. We do is we do video just like this. We do Zoom calls with musicians and people in the music industry to talk about the job of, you know, of being in the music industry and talk about the realities of it. And, you know, we're really fighting back against a lot of the ways that we lose musicians. We've lost too many musicians, in every sense of the word. Some musicians, you know, just can't, even if they live to old age, they don't live the lives that they want to be living and that we wish for them. So, you know, SLAM, Support Life in Music, SLAM, that's our number one goal, is to, you know, to help with that. There's a lot of great organizations out there that are doing good work in this space. So we have our own kind of lane in the way that we're doing it through the podcast and on through research. At supportlifeandmusic.org is where you can find our homepage, which I'm constantly working. I'm the webmaster, so bear with it. You know, if it doesn't look, it looks better than like a GeoCities page, but you know, it's still.
You just dated yourself with that reference, but I get it. So I guess I'm dating myself too.
MySpace. Yeah.
Hey, my first website was coded in Lynx.
Impressive. Yes. But we're both, you know, we're young. Like, we're totally not that old, right? Totally.
I'm actually turning 55 in 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. Well, early happy birthday.
Thank you. So then my first question is, what's your favorite word?
My favorite word, I should have been prepared. My favorite word is a word I just like the sound of, not for any particular meaning. I like the word archipelago, I like the sound of it.
I love that word. I agree. I neglected to say, so I will say this now. The questions I'm using came from James Lipton of Inside the Actor Studio. He would use them as a rapid fire questionnaire at the end of every episode. I'm making them a conversation. And in the spirit of good writers borrow, great writers steal outright, James Lipton stole his questionnaire from Bernard Pivot, who in turn stole his from Proust.
I knew, because of course I remember. Well, of course I've heard this on your show. I've heard you do this on your show. And of course I've heard James Lipton do that. I remember he said his hero, Marcel Prevost, but I did not know that was actually borrowed.
Yeah, actually, Proust said that if you ask a character these questions, you will have everything you need to know about the character. So he sort of created them as a writing tool, and I thought that was really cool.
Neat.
What is your least favorite word?
I guess on behalf of my wife, I can say moist. But for me, me personally, shoot, I should have been prepared. I knew these were coming. I'll say, how about hate? It's not a good word.
It really
Hate.
isn't.
Yeah.
I think that's a strong choice.
Yeah.
You can be prepared for this, but sometimes whatever you answer in the moment is best. I don't really like superlatives, but so really it's just whatever you answer in the moment is totally valid for that moment.
Well said. Yeah, that's true. All right. You'll just forgive me if it takes me a second to, you
Oh no,
know.
that's fine.
All right. All right, bring him on. I'm ready for
Okay. What
it.
is a sound or noise that you love?
This one I am prepared for, and well, since the James Lipton days even, but I think the laughter, especially
That was my
specifically.
dog gagging.
Oh, there you go. That's number two, your dog gagging. My dog is elderly. She does the same thing. No, I'd say laughter, especially laughter that I'm seeking, like laughter of my children is just the greatest thing you could ever hear.
That's the best. How old are your
No,
kids? Do you mind answering?
not at all. I have kids in their 20s, and my littlest one is just starting second grade, so she's
Wow.
seven. Yeah.
So you get to do it all over again.
Yes, I'm doing it all over again. Yeah. But you
Do you
know.
find that parenting a 7-year-old today is scarier than it was when your older kids were that age?
I wouldn't it's very different. I wouldn't use the word scarier. But yeah, there's a lot more. I mean, our generation, we grew up where our parents were like, just go outside and come back, you know,
Oh, yeah, we were
when the lights are
feral
off.
children.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But with our generation, we grew up a lot more aware of the scariness of the world, and the scariness out there. And we grew up through nuclear panic, you know, not to mention satanic panic. So you know, we grew up through all of that. But no, sorry, the long answer, the short answer is it's scary in different ways and more complicated in different ways. But no, I think I mean, there are a lot of things I did to relearn or learn the new way of doing it, but it's always scary.
I feel like the world isn't necessarily more dangerous. It's just that we're more aware of all the potential dangers because we live in a 24/7 news cycle now.
Yes, right. And news has is more much more of an agenda. Our media has much more of an agenda to, you know, we've seen what's been done to the older generation, especially. Although I don't want to pigeonhole, just put all the blame on them. But anyway, I'm going to stop that. I'll go there if you want, but I'm going to stop at that.
This is an uncensored interview, so you can say what you want. I'm going to take this moment to plug independent media in general because we need that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep.
What is a sound or noise that you hate?
This one also, I'm a little prepared. I forgive me for two answers. I'm going to give two
Oh,
answers.
you're cool.
That's how I roll. I can't commit to any answer. So, arguing is definitely number one. But a close second would be anything that wakes me up. Of course, there are exceptions. If I wake up to something cheery and happy, then yeah, I won't hate that. But yeah, the really bad alarm sound,
Oh.
or the neighbor or somebody outside doing some kind of loud construction. Yeah, that's the worst.
So my husband has been on this schedule where he starts work at 7 and we were both work from home. So it's challenging sometimes, but he starts work at 7, which means his alarm's going off at 5:30 in the morning. And because nothing wakes him up except really loud noises, he uses the klaxon from Star Trek as his alarm. So I'm always waking up thinking, oh my God, there's Klingons off the starboard bow. What do I do?
Now when you watch the show,
Yeah.
does that trigger you differently when there's an actual a klaxon during a Star Trek episode on TV?
No, but I for the longest time after he started using that, because sometimes he uses it as his ringtone as well, I would look at him and go, wait a minute, is this the television or are you being called?
Nice. Nice.
But then I'm also the person who changed her Alexa name to computer on at least one of her dots, so that's always fun.
Yes. N yes. Nerds of a feather. Yes, I get it.
What profession other than your own would you love to try?
Yeah, this one I've given some thought to also. So I would say one of the cool sciences, like being a cool scientist. Not necessarily. I mean, yes, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Carl Sagan, Brian Greene, shoot, Cox, the British guy with the great hair.
Oh, I
You
love
know.
him.
Yeah. I think I was saying, I want to say Brian Cox, but I don't know if that's right. But forgive me, Professor Cox. But yeah, those guys are cool, and that would be cool. But you know what? Like, well, the guy I'll name drop a friend and author, David Lee Summers, he's famous for being a writer. He's a cool scientist, like a cool science profession. Like that would be great.
So you want to be a science rock star?
There you go. Yeah, I'll be like
There
Buckaroo Banzai, also brain surgeon. Yes.
you go. There you go. What profession would you absolutely not want to do?
Oh, there's so many. Oh, hello. My cat just made a cameo appearance. Gosh, there's so many. Well, no offense to anyone who's done it. I've seen a little bit of retail management. So I would probably say fast food management. And lots of people do. And I'm not saying it's not a noble profession or anything like that. That's not for
It's
me.
just not for you. I get
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, I couldn't be up at a McDonald's, say at 5 in the morning, dealing with that rush and the customers and that intensity. That's just not me.
What turns you on creatively, inspirationally, etc.?
Yeah, I think great wit, really great. Wow. I think great cleverness, great passion. As a creative person, when I hear something done in a way that has never occurred to me, that just kind of sets this like sets my own creativity alight. I'll give an example, not necessarily a recent example, but as a writer, watching the movie Inception, and with all the possibilities and all the creativity and all the I had never thought about this particular attack to doing something creative. For a more recent one, I think Martha Wells' Murderbot series is another thing that just made my brain explode with possibilities. And of course, oh,
I want to
sorry, yeah.
interrupt you. I have not watched Murderbot yet. I did not know it was Martha Wells. That makes me want to watch it more.
Well, I would highly recommend reading the books first, but do watch the show is excellent. The show does a great job. But for classic examples, I'd say that like every time I revisit The Hitchhiker's Guide in some form, that really inspires me. That makes me think, gosh, that someone's capable of this kind of genius. I want to do something like that. And the same, of course. I'm here I am from Support Life in Music and talking about all these literary examples. I mean, brilliant musicianship. When I hear a musician doing something with a song that's not kind of rote and formulaic and doing something just a brilliant new approach to songwriting. That's so exciting. It just really makes me, it encourages me, inspires me to want to go and create.
Well, I mean, I feel like good musicians, whether they're songwriters or not, are still storytellers. So I think it's fair to use writers as an example.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I have journeyed in both paths, and I think yeah, they're both creative avenues that I really have explored a lot, and I have a lot of respect for and appreciation for. So I hope that's not too much of a slick answer or not really answering you, but I think when I hear that kind of like geniuses at work in those particular fields, I mean, I can appreciate genius at work in like painting, which is a medium that I'm not really proficient in. I can appreciate, when I'm looking at a masterpiece, but all right, I'm going to shush. That's a way too long
Stop censoring yourself. You're fine. You're
of
fine.
an answer.
There are no rules on this.
Okay.
The only rule is that you showed up. So thank you. I don't remember where you were. I'm sorry. I was enjoying listening to you. Oh
Well, thanks. Yeah, we're
no.
the creative things that are
Yes. Okay.
exciting.
So what
Creative
turns you
turn.
off?
Creative turn-offs are Well, cre just in the creative turnoffs, I think anything that's really, really insincere, insincerity. So, like the Great Pumpkin, like any insincerity is, when something is made cynically or with a cynical agenda, of course, in the most cynical agenda of all, I think is just for a cash grab, like, hey, we've got this brand of toys. Let's just crank out some crap movie for the kids to go and spend money on. Oh, do we have a story? Psh, story. Just crank
I
something
always
out.
thought the merch was supposed to come after the movie, but apparently I'm wrong. So.
Yes, or I mean, I'm saying jo toys jokingly, but really any kind of property. Like we've
Oh
got
no,
this property.
I totally get what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even if it's a crap original property, you can take it and turn it into something brilliant. So don't be cynical about it if you're going to create something, and don't do it just as a, hey, this will make us money. So yeah, insincerity again. That's not. I mean, I can name names if you want to go. You know, if you want to, but you know, like we don't. I think people have, just
I
saying that
think
makes
people
people
will
think.
get it. I think
Yeah.
we're good. If you were going to put someone on a banknote, like remember paper money, who would it be and why?
Wow. Yeah, I guess it'd be some have to be someone who was important for. I mean, there's so many facets to that because, you know, we don't need to get into a big discussion about capitalism and money movement, but just a great, and I'll it's since I'm born and raised in the USA, I'll go with a USA figure. I'll probably the first person who or the person who keeps coming to mind is Martin Luther King.
Oh.
You know, someone who did a lot of good, you know, really stood up for the right things and didn't, you know, really just did a wonderful thing for our country. Like, as much as has accomplished as much progress as really almost anyone. Don't come at me, historians, but you know, he, there, that's my, yeah, Dr. Martin Luther King.
Okay. What's your favorite curse word?
I guess I gotta go with the big one. Just because of I'm the right age for Pulp Fiction. So I gotta go with.
Classic. Classic.
I need that in my wallet, really.
Seriously. And then finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear when you enter the pearly gates?
I would like to, I guess I'd like to hear that, you know, just some kind of, I don't know the specific word, some kind of validation. Like, yes, you were doing the right things. You were doing the right things, and you followed, you stayed true, and you did the right things by other people. I think those are the things. I won't go, you know, Stephen Fry once had a real an answer that I agree with, but I'm going to keep it a little more positive and say, yeah, I'd like to hear you did a, yeah, you did a good job.
Oh, that's really lovely.
Simple, but yeah, thank you.
That's really lovely. Okay, tell everyone where we can find you on the interwebs.
Well, I supportlifeandmusic.org is the main, that's my main focus these days, but I've also been involved with a lot of music journalism, specifically, well, not specifically, but mainly in the heavy metal world. So I'm involved with the Metal Hall of Fame, the official Metal Hall of Fame. I'm a board member and a writer there. I've been involved with Rich Catino's metalasylum.net for many, many years. But yeah, supportlifeandmusic.org is where you can find me. I'm active on some of the social media platforms, Facebook. I'm not great about Messenger, but you know, I'm there on Facebook, a little bit of Instagram, a little bit of LinkedIn, a little bit of a tiny bit of Blue Sky. But yeah, that's where you can find me. But yeah, I mean, support life and music, like I said, we're trying to make the world a better place. So do consider subscribing to the podcast. Forgive me, Melissa and all listeners and viewers. We do a YouTube show that is also going to be translated to an audio-only podcast. So there's a YouTube. I'm not conflating the two. You know, shame on me. Like I've been in podcasting since 2005. I know there's a difference. I'm just using it for shorthand. So yeah, subscribe to our YouTube channel and keep an eye out for the podcast for Support Life and Music. We're calling the shows Slam Summits.
Oh, cool. You also are running a fundraiser right now.
Yes. Yes, as of today is the very tail end of July, beginning of August. I've been making noise about it, so thank you for calling that out. It's 25, 25, 25. We're a very, very new organization. Like as of this recording, we're a couple of months old, so we haven't really made an effort to try and raise funds yet. So this is our very first one. It's 25 because we're coming up on episode 25 of Slam Summits. We want to try and raise $2,500. For as celebrating episode 25 in the year 2025, and and so that's the gimmick. But yeah, that will support more Slam Summits, better production values for Slam Summits, and also research. You know, we're that's a very important thing that Slam does is research, where we're trying to really get a lot of good information to help all these industries that can help then help musicians and not just musicians, but everyone in the music industry who, you know, who needs some help, you know, because it can be a lonely and difficult life. And so that's where that cash will go to, you know, that we're raising goes to that. And again, we're a fiscally sponsored nonprofit, so that it is tax deductible.
Very cool. Thank you so much for spending time with me today, Jack. Content for the Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartel and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. No one does anything entirely alone. Join me in thanking my patrons, Nuke Chuss, Susan Fogel, Jason Banks, Clay Robeson, Charlotte and Ken Kennedy, Mark the Encaffeinated One, Selena Taylor, Fran Hutchinson, and Patricia. You too can become part of my supporters' roll call for as little as $1 a month. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/bathtubmermaid and subscribe. For show notes and complete credits, visit bathtubmermaid.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.